Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and Aaron has returned.
It came back. I'm tan. I'm ready to go. And have you noticed, I just want to bring this out to everybody, that Madonna's Express Yourself song and Lady Gaga's Born This Way is the exact same song. It's a clone. there's like literally no difference other than the words.
Pop music clone.
I mean, it's like I was listening to it. I was like,
don't you mean it's a replicant?
Yeah, it's a replicant. No, it is. Just playing back to back, people, and get back to me. I'm sure you'll agree. Yeah. So vacation.
When I was young, moved like a superstar.
So
I like Weird Al's rendition of that song.
It doesn't surprise me. So. Yeah, I came back from vacation, had a nice little trip away, and I'm back and ready to talk about Trek.
Yeah, it was. We had a good couple of weeks, some good guests.
I heard, yeah.
Good guests.
You guys had some fun. Fun without me, huh, people?
Yeah. The show must go on, but it's good to have you back. It's never the same without you.
Oh, man. It was good. It was good to get away, but it's great to come back. I listened to everything. I thought you guys did really good, you know. Without, you know, my expertise behind the mic here, but you know.
Well, thank you.
That's joking. No, it was good. The show sounded good. So
thank you. We're actually an episode behind. We tried to plan to do the O'Brien Must Suffer episodes every 10 episodes, but we're an episode late this time.
Well, and I was away, so. You can't do O'Brien Must Suffer without Aaron O'Brien.
Oh, of course not. That'd be sacrilege.
That would be weird. So we are talking about a Deep Space Nine episode. It's Whispers, which is Season 2, Episode 14, and it first aired February 6, 1994. It was my birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Aired on your birthday. And O'Brien, this is the first official, I think, O'Brien Must Suffer episode in Deep Space Nine.
Other than him just manning the transporter room for Picard all those years.
All those years. Which, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but there's a fantastic comic strip called O'Brien at Work.
Which is him just sitting at the transporter.
Did you see the new one where he's like, They assigned him to they assigned him to the turbo lift to do the same thing?
Oh, really?
It's like, why do we need to go to the turbo lift? He's like, you'll find out. He's like, take me to deck four. Deck four, please.
That's all he does? He just says deck four, please. Oh, my God. He's like the elevator man.
He's the elevator man now.
No, he wouldn't be the bellhop. There's the elevator. There are guys that are just all their job is. Well, I've run into a couple of those people once in a while.
O'Brien's been downgraded from transporting to...
I mean, could you imagine that was your job, just to operate an elevator up and down?
That would be awful. Do you know that urban legend where if you like you go up to the...
13th floor?
No, not the 13th floor, but there's a game. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but like... I think it's called the elevator game, where you go to like the 13th floor, and then you go down to the 7th floor, then you go up to the 28th floor. Like there's like this pattern of
sounds complicated.
It's complicated. There's a pattern that you go through. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head, but just talking about being an elevator person, maybe think about it. Where basically, if a little girl walks in by herself, then you've transported yourself to a parallel dimension. And you don't, and you may not be able to get back out. Like it's like a really creepy urban legend.
Well, let me try that. I'll tell you what.
I'm like, if you're him, like, what if that happens to you? Like, what if it just randomly happens? You have to go to the right.
There would be an extra Aaron O'Brien, and I'd be coming home, honey, I'm home, and then there's somebody else, honey, I'm home. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. The only thing I've done in elevators that would be questionable is I've jumped just before the elevator stops and you get the inertia going up or down, and then all of a sudden the whole thing kind of shakes and you feel like you're floating there for a second. Have you ever done that?
No, I have not. I've not done that.
You've never jumped just at the moment when it's about to stop and you still kind of you feel weightless just for a split second?
I have not. I have not tried that.
Oh, geez.
But it is called the elevator game. So I got the name right. It's just called the elevator game. I'm trying to find the sequence you need to
do. So it's like banana, nana, bonana, bye, bobana, get on the elevator. Alternate dimension.
Okay, the building has to be at least 10 stories high with an elevator. All three of these conditions must be met in order for the game to proceed. Venturing out, enter your chosen building and get into the elevator on the first floor alone. Do not proceed if anyone else is in the elevator with you. Press the button to the fourth floor. When the elevator reaches the fourth floor, do not get out. Instead, remain in the elevator and press the button for the second floor. When you reach the second floor, remain in the elevator. Press the button for the sixth floor. Once you reach the sixth floor, remain in the elevator and press the button for the second floor. Once you reach the second floor, remain in the elevator and press the button for the 10th floor. When you reach the 10th floor, remain in the elevator and press the button for the 5th floor. When you reach the 5th floor, a young woman may enter the elevator. Do not look at her. Do not speak to her. She is not what she seems. Press the button for the 1st floor. If the elevator begins to ascend to the 10th floor instead of descending to the 1st, you may proceed. If the elevator descends to the 1st floor, exit as soon as the door opens. Do not look back. Do not speak. If you reach the 10th floor, you may either choose to get off the elevator or stay on it. If you choose to get off and the woman enters the elevator on the 5th floor, she will ask you where you're going. Do not answer her. Do not look at her. If you will know whether you have arrived on the other world by one indication and one indication only, the person present in the elevator with you.
What if someone comes in like during like the 4th floor, going to the 2nd floor?
Got to start the process over again.
Seems really annoying.
This is a really... But the thing is, like, if you're an elevator man, I mean, and you're bored one day.
Well, if I was an elevator operator, yeah.
Does this work on a starship that's taller than 10 floors?
Well, you know, it's funny because turbo lifts don't just go up and down. They go side to side as
That's true.
So...
But, I mean, like, you just go, you know, like in the saucer section where there's at least 10 floors because, I mean, 10 forwards in the saucer. So, I mean...
Yeah.
If you just find where the shaft is straight...
Where the shaft is straight.
And hard. But yeah, the elevator game, you can check that out if you're a doorman. And I wonder if...
Not a doorman, elevator operator.
Elevator operator.
And you might be part of the elevator operators union, which is Local 52.
But is that union in the netherworld too?
It might be. And they might be like a version of Doctor Who.
You know, I've heard...
you get in and you come out another universe. I'm in Roman times.
You've got a TARDIS.
But we only go up and down.
But it's funny because, like, because things are supposed to change. Like, I think another version says if anything changes, don't get off the elevator because you're in the other world. And so, like, what if you take a picture at all the different floors to make sure...
Don't know, but I do wonder if you did get in that alternate universe, would there be an extra Aaron O'Brien? Would there be an extra Dave Duncan? You know, being like, oh no, there's two of me now, and now you'll be back into our episode of Whispers where there's an extra of you. And what do you do? Where do you sleep?
Apparently with your wife, but
she's not into you.
She's totally not into you. Neither's your daughter.
No,
I won't even give you a morning kiss.
No. That's like me now.
Oh, poor Aaron.
All right. So, let's
see. Was that your vacation? And then your wife and your kids are like, no,
no, no. I hate you. All right. Should we get going?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, we start off in the beginning. O'Brien has his log record he starts doing on the Rio Grande. He enters the wormhole and he's at the helm and tells the computer to go to the Parada system at maximum warp.
The devil wears Parada?
Yes, he does. Or she does. And then he starts the log. So one thing we do notice that O'Brien seems to like coffee, Jamaican blend, double strong, double sweet.
Yeah,
I don't think it shows up ever again. But he drinks a whole hell of a lot. Maybe part of his programming. I bet it in the Prada thing when they're doing their their big council meeting or whatever they're supposed to, peace talks, that he was going to spill like Jamaican coffee all over. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, man. Jamaican me crazy.
And they start melting like the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, they're allergic to they're coffee.
Allergic. Or at least Jamaican coffee.
Yeah, Jamaican coffee. Or just make them melt like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Although I think pretty much everyone switches to Rock to Gino like after this.
That must have been like...
Maybe that's why you
like
don't ever hear...
drinking cocaine or something like that. They're like,
woo! Well, the Star Trek Experience, the recipe for Rock to Gino is like drinking dessert.
Oh.
It's very, very sweet drink.
Maybe it's that's what it tastes like. Well, anyways, he starts going into this long story about how he doesn't know where it started, but basically when he got back from Prada with doing some security... setting up for this conference with the Prada's people, but he was doing a bunch of security parameters and stuff like that for them. And when he came back, he noticed that things were starting to seem a little odd. And at that moment, he comes home to Keiko. He noticed that she's not in bed, and it's like 5:30 in the morning. And he's like, "What are you doing up so early? And Molly's up as well. Extremely unusual. It's like, I wanted to get started, and I want to take Molly with me too.
She needs to learn some Klingon. I mean, not Klingon, but some Vulcan problem solving programs.
Right
in the Holo Suite. No, I don't think it's in the Holo Suite, but
yeah,
maybe it was.
I don't know, but it's basically some Vulcan program, which you know.
How do you feel?
How do you feel? I feel fine. Okay, moving on. But so O'Brien was like, okay. Like, whatever, that seems weird. And then he goes to work, and he finds that Ensign DeCurtis is conducting some repairs, and he's like, why are you working on this so early? I never told you to come do this. And he goes, oh, I thought I got to jump on it, Chief.
Everyone's getting a jump on me today.
Yeah.
He's like shaking his head with his finger up.
And he told him that he was Sisko asked him to do that. He didn't, because Sisko didn't consult O'Brien with all. They just shot over his head. So,
what? Sisko went over my head? What are you talking about? What are you talking about, cousin?
But so O'Brien wonders what's going on, because he's seeing. He sees Keiko outside the school. He's talking to Sisko, and he kind of hides, but he's wondering what the hell's going on. So that's the beginning of this whole thing. So he's like, what is happening?
It's kind of weird that he just hides instead of like, oh, man, I need to talk to Sisko. Oh, look, there he is. It's
talking to my wife.
It's like, oh, they talk. I mean,
they do.
It's not, that shouldn't be too weird, I don't think.
So it returns with the show, and O'Brien's back on the runabout. He's talking to the log, and he finds that the Macaw is chasing after him, and they're trying to get him to stop his shuttlecrafts on the Rio Grande.
He's like, when they catch up to me, well, we'll just have to see when we get there.
Right. So it goes back to when he starts talking about his log again on the shuttlecraft, and he starts telling how he goes up to ops, and then Bashir wants him to take his physical, his long overdue.
Turn your head and cough.
And he doesn't want to do it, but Sisko says, you have to do it. You have to go in. And so he does go for this physical, begrudgingly.
I gotta say, I love the physical gown in Deep Space Nine.
Oh, so
it's
terrible.
It's so much better. It's so much... No, this is nice. It's so much better than the paper gown they give you in the actual doctor's offices nowadays.
Come on. Paper gown is kind of sexy in a way, because everything's hanging out.
Everything's hanging out. But they just don't... They don't feel comfortable.
They don't feel comfortable. You feel completely... vulnerable.
Well, but that's nice about the purple one. It probably feels like clothes.
Maybe it does.
I like that purple one. I need to like get my own gown.
You should just bring it.
I just go in.
Why aren't you in a gown? I am in my gown. This is my Deep Space Nine.
This is the official Star Trek Deep Space Nine physical gown.
And that's when they cart you off to the funny farm. Federation
funny farm.
Anyway, so he says, I can't find anything wrong with you. And then Jake later on catches up to O'Brien going to work. You know, Jake's like, can you help me with my subspace transceiver for school?
I need to go to Tashi Station to pick up some power converters.
Like, get out of here, kid. but he said he'd help him, and Jake walks off. So Sisko told him before that some of the pylons he was working on before had stopped working, and they couldn't the dock upper ships.
Pylons, yeah.
The ships couldn't dock to them, so they had to tow them. It's like, oh, sorry.
So ships can't move under their own power?
Apparently. So he goes, but then he found that the pylons, the problem, the issue with the pylons, that somebody did something deep in the circuitry.
Basically sabotaged them.
Yeah, so he's like, what is going on? So now he's even more confused after seeing this, because he's like, something's up.
Because they're not letting him help on the things that he's been briefed on. They're just going off of his log instead of letting him like do the repairs and modifications himself.
Right. So back on the promenade, O'Brien's thinking about all this, and then Jake comes up and he says, hey, I got this inverter, and so I'm halfway there.
I found
there.
It in a really, really old data log. I think this is kind of cool, because usually whenever they replicate stuff, they're just like, oh, replicate stuff. So it's kind of interesting seeing that he was like looking through some kind of file structure and found a really old file somewhere.
Sure.
That had this like,
he 3D printed in the future. So, I mean, basically, that's all it was.
Yeah. I think it was kind of cool that like it was like, oh, I like actually did research instead of like just saying, hey, make this.
Make this.
Because that's all you ever see in Star Trek. You don't ever see them like look through any kind of file structure,
right?
Like for their computer,
how to
like,
make something.
Yeah, they just like computer replicate this, and like you just does it. Like there's
true.
Never really any search parameters that
true.
You see.
But I think his point is trying to learn how to build one. So
yeah.
While he's talking to him, Kira interrupts him and says, "Hey, your father's looking for you." And then she goes, to O'Brien, says, everything under control? Is like, yeah.
Why wouldn't it be?
Just talking to Jake. Sorry. Is that a crime, Major?
Stranger danger. Stranger danger.
So
Jake's the stranger.
So, like I said, he found that the pylons were broken deliberately. Next, he goes into his quarters. He's real tired. Keiko tells O'Brien that Jake can't make it because Sisko had him do something to come over to help him with the transceiver.
And then they have the over dinner, like...
And Molly's at the Fredrickson's.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I think she was with them before when they were...
Yeah, on a different one.
The honeymoon where he goes on to his... Justice. Yeah. No, it wasn't Justice, but it was whatever it was.
It was the one where he gets under the Kardashian trial.
Right, and stripped naked.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyways,
it's
so...
It's like a showdown at the OK Corral over dinner.
Yeah, so she makes him some stew.
And that is the stiffest stew I've ever seen.
Really gross looking. It basically looked like barf to me. I was like, here, I barfed on a plate for you. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
You Irish piece of garbage.
Potato famine this.
Yeah, potato famine. So there's this really great scene where he's getting suspicious because she doesn't like that food. And then she's like, I'm just going to eat the salad. And, he's going to take a bite and she's looking at him. He's looking
How
at
is it, honey?
He's like, I think I'll just go to bed. He's like, we didn't eat anything. He's like, I'm not hungry. I'll eat it later. And it's just...
I look at the log. He's like, I went to go check on the food later, but it was already gone.
She threw it out.
She threw it out. I was hungry.
It was in garbage. I said, put it in the fridge.
He just put everything back on the replicator.
What's the point of a... There's no fridge in there.
There is no fridge. It's like you replicate your food, you eat it, and then what you don't eat in the plate, you put it back in the replicator, and it unreplicates it so it can be replicated again later.
And turned into something else, like a transceiver.
So, like, you order a steak, it's got fat on it, right? You cut your fat off the steak, and you put it back in the...
Would there be fat on steak from a replicator?
Probably.
Like,
no, it
would serve no purpose, unless you wanted the fat.
Well, I know, but it'd just be like, serve me like, a standard T-bone. A T-bone would have fat on it, because that's how T-bones
sure,
are.
Sure, but could you order it without it? No fat.
Maybe.
I guess you could.
You probably
could.
But I just think it'd be funny. Like, so you put it on there, and so it replicates the fat back onto the same
right,
one next time.
Right, right.
Because it reconstitutes it.
Right.
I just think it'd be funny.
Well, he tries to get fresh with Keiko, and Keiko doesn't go for that. And that looks really... We have this really disturbing scene where Miles, like, moves in for the kiss, and then she's just like...
No!
She looks like she's like...
I don't feel like it.
Getting kissed by like a jaguar or something.
She's got eyes wide open on him. It's like,
oh my God, this jaguar is going to rip my face off in a second. So she's a little freaked out. So he's completely freaked out. He's like, well, okay, going to bed. So later on, he starts going through all the bunch of files, trying to figure out what's going on. Like, why was the pylons messed with? Up.
Yeah, he goes through people's
logs.
All the officers' logs.
Since he was missing, the time he was missing, and he finds that he was restricted under a certain time frame was restricted, and he can't get into it. So he decides...
From the day he got back.
Yeah, so he decides that he's going to...
he goes to ops to break into the files.
Right. And Curtis offers to help him with repairs, and O'Brien's like, no thanks, I got it. And he says there are a bunch of traps in the computer's subroutines.
He's like, we couldn't do it without you, Chief. So he's like putting that extra layer of like, yeah, you're awesome.
You're awesome.
Even though we don't trust you at all.
He gave him the Shooter McGavin pistols. Anyway, so he notices that...
he finds out they got into his logs, too.
Yeah, that's what it is. They found out he got into his logs, and he started reading into that. But then Odo comes back, and he decides that he's going to go to Odo with everything. He's like, I've been noticing that there's a lot of suspicious things going on here. And
you know, I don't know what's going on, but it's a takeover, man. It's totally a takeover.
Couldn't be
game over, man.
Couldn't be the couldn't be anybody from your side of the Delta Quadrant or Gamma Quadrant.
Gamma Quadrant.
Yeah, Delta Quadrant, Gamma Quadrant.
Delta Quadrant's Voyager, Gamma Quadrant's Deep Space Nine.
I know. They're all the same quadrants. Beta, Alpha.
The Uranus quadrant.
Yeah. Where's my anus? Here's your anus.
Did you know the 63 Earths could fit inside Uranus?
Oh, no.
70 if you give it some lube.
Ugh, God. Okay, so yeah, so he goes to Odo for everything. So he said he felt better after talking to him, and that maybe things are gonna like somebody else was gonna help him figure this out. Next, we have him. He's at Quark's, and he's like, you know, the odds are against you, O'Brien.
And O'Brien like flips out on him.
Yeah, he almost throws him across the table. He's so
over the balcony.
Yeah, and he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, the racquetball match. They're betting against you. What the hell's wrong with you? And so
this is a really good episode where, like, I think almost every single major character is in this episode.
Yeah.
You had Jake. You had Quark. You had Odo. Kira.
No Nag.
He's more supporting.
No characters. Dax. Dax isn't in it.
But her log is.
Well, right.
You get to hear a log. That's true. Dax isn't in it. I guess she has no FaceTime in this episode. Darn it.
Darn it. No Dax. So anyways, he goes... Odo
or Terry Farrell.
Odo asks O'Brien what he knows about the rebels, the Paradin rebels, and their secret communications. O'Brien suggests that they cancel any of their meetings, and that, you know, that there could be problems. Basically, all comes down to, and this is where he realizes that Odo is like. Not working with them.
Oh, no, it was turned against. It's like, oh, no, you're one of them, too.
They got to you, too. And all of a sudden, everyone jumps out with their phasers and everything. And
why didn't they do this as soon as he got back? Like, this is what's blowing my mind.
And then O'Brien grabs Kira's pistol, her laser or phaser or whatever.
Oh, no, but they showed him earlier. He made this Batman device where he can throw it on the floor and...
Oh, yeah, that's right. He constructed that little device just to throw down.
It's like a flashbang. But
it was actually pretty nice. So he takes off.
It just makes me think of Batman.
Yeah, and he goes to some like obscure like room, like storage room, and beams himself onto the Rio Grande. I don't know where that like beaming pad is that's randomly put into a storage room. You know, that's kind of weird.
Well, no, usually cargo bays have transporters.
Do they? I've never seen one before. And not that I paid attention, I guess.
Well, there's the time that Lore is taking Wesley hostage, and they're in the cargo bay, and there's a transporter in there.
I don't remember. I'll take your word for it.
And I think I want to say there's the one where like Geordi and Beverly are also in a cargo bay, and they're trying to suck the air out. I think there's a transporter pad in the background because I want to say it's the same room where Lore and took. I think it's the same set. Where Lore captured Wesley.
Well, anyways, so he transports on the Rio Grande, and he takes off.
because his site-to-site transporter wouldn't work from his comm badge. He's like, oh, fine.
Well, he ripped off his comm badge.
Well, no. He ripped it off because it didn't work.
Oh, but I think also they could track him. Well, yeah. I guess they could track him anyway, but they didn't because he was running through the Jeffrey tubes or whatever those conduits were.
But they did. They tracked him with shields. Well, force fields, and he's like, oh, you want some force fields? So he, like, enables every single force field combination ship. And he's like, they had to turn them all off.
Yeah.
He's like, thank you. I love how smart O'Brien is with things. Like, yeah. If he was, like, really trying to mess people up, he could mess people up.
Sure. Well, anyways, he takes off, and this we're kind of catching up with the story. He's now, he's gone into the Gamma Quadrant. He's in the Parada system, and Maycog is basically catching up with him. He does a couple tricks, you know, hides in their, like, magnetic sphere or something.
Yeah,
like
he does some, like, Han Solo-esque tricks.
And then he takes off.
He glues his ship to the back of the airship. That way they can't detect him.
Right, exactly.
Just like, and they drift off with the garbage.
And not any other ship would ever notice him there.
No.
Well,
especially when the ship's the same size.
Yeah. So, anyways, He noticed that Maycog goes to this other, like,
the moon. Second planet in the system.
Yeah, he goes to a planet, and then he follows them, and he knows that nobody's on board. He could have taken out their ship. That's what I would have done. That would have been my first thing. It's like, get rid of the ship.
Take him out.
And then
they're imposters. They gotta be. I love this conversation with the computer. Did they beam to the surface? Yes, they beamed to the surface. How many beamed to the surface? Three people.
Yeah.
Is there any left on the ship? No. It was like really fast to see.
I would have towed it right out. I would have towed it, like, just, you know, take a tractor beam, pull it away.
Or beamed over to it and plotted a course directly so it'll fly into the sun.
You could do that.
Which happens in the next episode. Paradise.
Paradise is a great episode. Anyways.
I just say that because I know that's what happens in the next episode.
So anyways, so he decides he goes down to the planet to see what's going on. He gets to jump on everybody and tells them to throw down their phasers. And they're like,
no, we'll explain everything to you. It's just right behind door number one.
This goes through this door. Just this door. All you got to go through is
door number one.
Don't open that door. Don't open the door.
There's not even a door two or three. Just one door, please.
And he does open it.
After he's shot, though.
Yeah, he gets shot. Because I think he fires a shot but misses, and he gets shot and he falls down.
Yeah.
And the door opens. And there is another O'Brien behind that door who is apparently the real O'Brien.
The real O'Brien.
Who's been basically
missing
in action the whole time. And he's sort of just like, whoa, what's going on? I'm not the real O'Brien. And then he dies saying, tell Keiko, I love her.
I love.
So, and that kind of how it wraps up. I mean.
And they just kind of like theorize like what happened.
You realize that he was, you know, a replicant for some kind of. A really advanced replicant, and that he had some kind of agenda or mission to do during the conferences to throw things off.
But he was so much like the real O'Brien, he got thrown off his agenda because he didn't know what his agenda was.
Well, I'm assuming there was some like programming.
Deprogramming, that's what they
like said. Manchurian candidate kind of thing that they say a word to him like, you know, I don't know. Daisies. Ooh.
Jamaican blend.
Jamaican blend.
Oh my God!
Jamon! With jamming. I hope you like jamming too. And then it like dumps the coffee all over. Anyways.
And he dies.
So that's basically the episode. Dave, what were your takeaways on this episode after seeing it?
Well, I'm familiar with this episode enough, so I was just trying to look for things that. That just kind of like reinforce the fact that he's not really who he is. Mm-hmm. And other than just kind of knowing where it all is.
There's nothing you could tell.
There's nothing.
It's weird that like Molly and Keiko don't want to have anything to do with him.
I thought it was really weird for Molly because it's just like, did they tell a 3-year-old that's not really your dad?
She knew.
Like, it's just so. It's so weird.
It is a little weird.
And, like, I think my first thought, I think I told you when you got right over here this evening, was that I was like, why didn't they, if everyone knew from the get-go.
Why didn't they just stop
like, why
him
didn't,
before
Why
he...
didn't they just throw him in the brig until they figured out what happened to the real O'Brien?
Right, exactly.
I mean, I guess you wouldn't have this really cool, like mystery plot thing.
Well, of course. You needed that. You needed
but
that.
But I mean, like, just from, like, a common sense perspective, I'm like, what's the point of, like, letting him just to be normal,
wander around and do work. I mean, who knows?
Keep them in the dark.
He could be sending information about Deep Space Nine. It seems like a huge lapse.
The entire time.
Yeah.
Because remember, I mean, like a couple episodes later, or, you know, like whenever he does go on trial, like, you know, the guy gets his voice print, reconfigures his voice, gets the weapons lockers and beams over to a shuttlecraft. Like, he can do a lot of dangerous stuff.
And why didn't the Cardassians contact the Paradans to get, like, a replicant of him to do a bunch of crazy shit?
That would have made a lot of sense. That would have been really cool.
Yeah. No, it wasn't me. That wasn't me.
That wasn't me. That
I didn't do that.
That would have been fantastic if, like, a fake O'Brien, like, stowed away on the ship for that episode. It'd be great, a little great, like, wink to this episode, because this is a really fun episode.
It's a great episode. It's a great episode because you just don't know what's going to happen. And when it does happen, you're like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, because if you hadn't seen this one in a while, if it's your first time seeing it, it's going to be like, whoa, I did not see that coming. Although, I think this is, as much as I enjoy this episode, I think it's a missed opportunity. Hmm. Because in TNG, they never followed up Conspiracy.
True.
And the way O'Brien thinks everyone's been taken over, it would have been great if it was like a follow up to Conspiracy, where like they were the bug things. Like, it would have been, like, you know, maybe it would have had to been a two-parter, because he doesn't figure it out to the very end. He reads out what happened with the Enterprise or something.
Sure,
like that. Because he was on the Enterprise, or he should have been, during that
time. We didn't really see him, I don't think, at that time.
Well, no, I mean, he was in the pilot, and then you don't...
No, I just meant we don't think we saw him during that episode.
No, but you don't really see him, like, start coming back regularly to like, season two, I think. But still, I mean, he was in the pilot, so he was probably just somewhere else on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he knows about it. So that would have been really cool, like, if they kind of tied back into that episode, since they never ever did in, you know, all seven seasons of TNG, because that was a season one episode of TNG.
Sure,
yeah. Where Conspiracy happened. And I know I've read different places where the Conspiracy was like the infancy stages of like the Borg, and they changed the Borg to actually being robots instead of like bugs.
Right.
But still, like, I mean, you still could have had, you know, those guys around, even if they changed what their future idea what was going to be. Because the Conspiracy thing where everyone's changed. And like, the one thing they probably couldn't take over is Odo, since Odo doesn't have an essential nervous system.
Good point.
So that would be the only person that
data,
could.
Data, they could do data.
Yeah, they couldn't do data. But I mean, for Deep Space Nine. Specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if they were the bug things from Conspiracy.
Right.
That would have been so cool, like, to follow up that episode. So, like, watching this, you know, knowing how it goes, but just thinking about that one thread that never got wrapped up, I'm just a little bit disappointed. It's kind of a missed opportunity, because it's the kind of episode where it could have gone that way.
It could have. You're right. It could have gone that way.
What about you? What are your thoughts on the episode?
There's a couple. One, obviously, going into, like, you're talking about the Conspiracy with the bugs, this has huge callbacks or feelings to both movies of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, people are getting replicated by these pod people, and, you know, they act and talk the same, but they're obviously have an agenda. So, it definitely has that kind of paranoia feeling the whole time, which is great. It's a great time, great to watch it. It's kind of, I think you're right. You watch it again after seeing it and knowing what's happening, and you kind of like try to find something that's going on, but you can't. There's nothing really specific that you could say.
Well, I was reading the Memory Alpha, and Colomini said he played the character exactly like he always played him, mm-hmm. because if he did anything different, you'd know something would be wrong.
Right. Okay.
And this episode is also shot really weird compared to any other show.
Well, a lot of close-ups.
It never lingers on anyone else. Like, if O'Brien leaves the room, yeah. Like, the camera lingers for just a second before it switches back to
yeah, it doesn't show you anything else. It won't show you anything else.
Which is, like, it's something I don't think... I can't think of where this has ever happened in Star Trek.
Not too often. Like, maybe the one where Riker goes crazy. You get a little bit of that. Like, you don't really focus too much on anybody else. But, this was really well...
It doesn't happen often.
No, really well done. A couple other things. Like, first of all, he leaves, after he leaves Deep Space Nine with the shuttlecraft, or the, what's it called? Not the shuttlecraft, the,
Runabout.
Like, why did he go to the Paradin system? Like, why not go to Starfleet or someplace a little more... I mean, I know he talked to the Admiral, but it was sort of like, well, how could the Admiral be infected? Like, what? How is that possible?
So, that's why the conspiracy angle would have made sense.
I don't know. It's just so weird. But I was just like, it's like, so he's going to go to the Praddon system. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. You know, like, there's a system that you've only been to, like, for a few days.
Well, I think he went back to it because that's where all the weird stuff started happening.
Sure,
so maybe, like, he thought the answers for what happened would
Well, be they back were there. He was right about that. He was right.
Yeah.
The other thing is, obviously, this is, like, a really advanced replicant of some sort. You know, it's like Blade Runner kind of replicant. Like, they couldn't even, like, Bashir couldn't find out. It's like, you're fine.
He did that super extra long physical on him.
He's like, nope, I can't find anything. So he was basically a human.
Like a perfect clone with a perfect, you know, copy of memories.
Not like what little girls are made of from TOS, where they're all circuits inside. Like,
Biological.
He is biological.
Perfect.
And he has perfection. All, you know,
all his memories, all his feelings and ideas.
I mean, like, I kind of feel like.
Knowledge and know-how.
I kind of feel like this is the Tom Riker of O'Brien's.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like, because he's a replicant, like, doesn't he deserve his own? Like, they just shot him, let him, like, no, oh, he's dead. So.
Well, you know, at least he got to die, a death, whereas Tom Riker gets thrown into some Cardassian pit and never heard from again, even though you've got, you know, Kira leaning on his hairy chest saying, we'll come after you.
We'll find you.
We'll find you. I love you.
I don't know.
Your Riker penis is so amazing.
Riker penis. Nobody was going after the Miles O'Brien penis.
No, they just left the Riker. They did it all for the Riker. And they never, ever revisited that episode. Like, all you had to do was give one throwaway episode.
All I'm going to say...
And go rescue Tom Riker. They never did.
Let me throw this out to you. If you were to find out that you could make another Dave Duncan, would you do it?
Yeah.
I mean... Think about it. Like, you could send one Dave Duncan to go to work while you fuck off. And maybe, and then you could take over for him for a day and be like, okay, I'll go to work now.
Like, I could podcast full time. I could, like, do three more shows.
But wouldn't the other.
And go to work.
But wouldn't the other Dave Duncan want to podcast and do three shows?
We take turns.
All right. Gotcha.
And we listen to what we do so that we're on the same page.
Okay.
That would be awesome.
You could podcast with each other.
That would be... I don't think anyone would want to hear that.
That'd be really weird.
I don't think anyone would want to hear that. Like, me talking to myself.
That'd be hilarious.
Because I could do that right now. I could just record...
You should do that.
No, that would be terrible.
And then have you respond to yourself. But no, I mean, like, I don't know. I know there's a Michael Keaton movie, Multiplicity.
Yeah, but they kept getting dumber and dumber.
Yeah, every time
they were little. But this O'Brien was just as smart as the old O'Brien.
Yeah, and
which,
like,
was awesome.
I mean, other than his penchant for Jamaican coffee, I mean... I don't see
wanting to make love to an Asian woman. You know, he's still got that fever.
He's got that going, so he's got the yellow fever. I don't know. I don't understand what. I felt kind of bad for that O'Brien laying on the floor dying.
I did too.
And
like,
I was like,
it's such a shock.
Like, first of all, Bashir, you're an asshole because you're just like, there's nothing I can do. I was like, what?
What do you mean? There's nothing you can do?
You save everybody all the freaking time, and this guy, you're just the worst. Just didn't want to.
No,
you're just like this abomination of biology has to die. You know.
Well, we can't let it live.
Well, why not?
It's a time bomb waiting to go off.
And what would you do? What would you do if one day you were doing your day-to-day thing, you found out that you are not the real Dave Duncan? There's another Dave Duncan out there. You did the elevator trick. And you came out, and you're like, this is my home, this is my life, but I can't stay
I'm
here.
Not wanted here, because it's not really me.
Yeah.
Or it's like, I'm not really him. It's just, it would be...
Like, what would you do? How would you just move on? Would you do the Tom Riker and fall down a pit somewhere? I mean, like, where would you move on to? I mean, it's like...
Hopefully not a Cardassian prison pit. That would be terrible.
That would be terrible.
That's like the gulag.
I know. It would be pretty bad. No, I just... That's the thing is, like, now... I mean, I just... Again,
I don't know. What do I do? What would you do?
I'd live on the beach. Like, screw you, people.
Just live underneath the pier.
Yeah, just that's right. I don't know. I just, I feel like... You'd
pick up chicks like, I've got beachfront property.
You I got beachfront property. No, I just, I live under this pier here. I shit in that bucket over there.
It's pier one.
Pier one. Wonderful. You know, this is my problem. I think that Star Trek often kind of wraps things up with like a quick death. You know, like, so they don't have to work with the moral dilemmas of what that actually spells out.
Yeah.
Like the Tom Riker, the, you know, this one, the Moriarty one that we talked about recently. Yeah. Like, it just seems very often they're just like, oh, well, I guess that's how it ends. That's where the cookie crumbles. Like, oh, see you next week. You know, I mean, it's like, I find it really, I mean, obviously it's just for TV writing, but I find it's like a little bit lazy on the ethical side. Because it just puts up all these questions for us. Like, wait a second. That guy was O'Brien.
For all intents and purposes, he was exactly O'Brien. That is...
And he just saw himself die. And, like, didn't O'Brien, who was, like, you know, held into, you know, custody all the time, felt any, like, feelings towards us? Like, I mean, other than being freaked out, like, wow, that looks just like me. He's like, yeah, he was sleeping in your bed with your wife. You know? I don't know.
It's hard. It's a hard kind of thing to think about. And I guess they kind of just want you to, like, well, what do you just... leave you with that feeling. It's like, what would you do?
I always hated when the Tom Riker showed up in a TNG and he was like, I always like the name Tom. I'm like, what? But it seems just a, what? It's like, no, your name's Will. Like, what, whoever walks around going like, man, I wish my name was Bill. You know, like,
I mean, a lot of people call themselves by their middle name. Both my parents do.
Yeah, but no. But
my parents go by their middle names.
I know, but like, do you ever walk around thinking like, man, I really like the name, you know, Francis. I wish my name was Francis.
No.
I mean, like,
I've never done that.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, but like, it seems weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. I thought it was like just crappy writing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is not a crappy written episode by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no.
And I think the directing is really well because it keeps that paranoia.
And the acting is really good. Like Colomini.
Well, Colomini is just great, period.
It's just, I mean, like, I feel like
he carries those shows more often than not. Like,
I feel like the O'Brien Must Suffers are there just because, like, he's literally one of their best actors.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not saying, like, Rene Auberjonois is bad or...
No, they're all good. But
it's just...
Colomini is like...
It's a Colomini stands head and shoulders.
Yeah, he's a little higher than the rest of them.
Like, when we talked to Michelle Specht about you know, The Offspring and how, like, you know, the you know, Law was like, I want to be look like her, like Counselor Troy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why not? I mean, like...
Yeah.
I mean, Brent Spiner always does double duty.
Yeah.
I mean, like, why not? I mean, like, you know, make Marina Sirtis do double duty for once. You know what I mean? It just I don't know. It just seems like some actors are just kind of meant to, like, do these double or I mean, sometimes he did triple parts in TNG. Brent Spiner did. And he's an incredible actor. But I mean, like, I mean, Marina Sirtis, I mean, maybe she's not the greatest actress, but I mean, it would have been nice to see her stretched a little bit.
You know what it is? I think there's some actors that can handle that weight of a lot of... I mean, obviously, you know, if you're a Patrick Stewart, you're given the lead role because you have the gravitas of your personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some kind of charisma that you have that other people don't quite have.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you have the acting strength behind it too. So you have the skill set behind you too. I think, you know, obviously, you know, Next Generation had, you know, Patrick Stewart, had Brent Spiner, who are really, really good, you know. I mean, not that the other actors weren't bad or are bad in any stretch of the imagination. I mean, Geordi, what's his name?
LeVar Burton.
LeVar Burton. He's a very good actor, too. But some of them are a little two-dimensional in some ways. Like, they don't come out of their roles, you know, so.
But some of them are just weren't well written for. Like, Deanna Troi. Like, Deanna Troi, like, I love the idea of her character, but I just don't think they ever really did anything amazing with her.
They did some cool things, but it was all kind of contrived sometimes.
It was, but I mean, like her ability doesn't go beyond basic, you know, basic intuition or like duh, common knowledge. Like, you know, I just wish her ability was a little bit more. So that, like, you know,
it would be cool if she had more telepathic abilities for sure.
So that way, you know, her being on the bridge was worth it. I feel a general feeling of relief. Or I think he's hiding something. Well, no, duh, he's a Ferengi. He's hiding something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Like,
you know,
I just wish. Like, I just feel like they didn't do enough with her power or make it feel like it was a power. Especially the episode where she, like, loses it. And I'm just like, why are you freaking out? Like, your power's never done anything that amazing.
You've always kind of sucked a little bit. The thing is, Colmini, his character, O'Brien, is very, like, you know, meat and potatoes, the everyman kind of person. Yeah. And he's not that special. He's never been super. I mean, it's only really Deep Space Nine you realize he's kind of, like, on the technical end of it. Like, he's very good at what he does.
Yeah.
But he was never, like... Like TNG, we're never like, wow, that guy's awesome. You're just like just a background guy you see once in a while.
Well, it's just funny. Like I recorded with Trek Geeks, which be out the same day as this episode, I believe. And we were talking about Data's Day because we're doing the season 4 See It or Skip It, and we're talking about Data's Day. And I was just like, hey, who can we have get married? You know, no, not Picard, no, not Riker. Hey, there's that transporter chief we've never seen do anything but transport. Let's have him get married.
Right.
Like, it's just like some bizarre thing. It's just like, here, like, let's give him, I mean, I wonder if they started writing Deep Space Nine around that time or, like, conceptualizing it around that time.
I don't think so. I think they threw down some characters and they were like, well, you know, I don't know if they tested Keiko. What's her name? Rosanna or something like that.
Rosaline
Chow or I can't remember.
Can't remember last
yeah, time. But something like that. But I think did they test her before, like screen test her or get her like you know? Obviously she could act, but did they give her how much did they? Because they had no idea they're going to write that many roles for her, even in Next Generation. Like you didn't know she was going to be show up that as often as she did.
Sure, maybe she only showed up a couple times.
No, not a lot, but it was enough that you'd be like it was notable. Like you remember like. All right, you know.
Yeah, Brian's married.
Married, yeah. Because there weren't really anybody else that was married that you saw often.
In the main cast, yeah.
Yeah, that often, you know.
Yeah, it's weird. But, I mean, I just wonder if they'd started thinking about, like, developing his character so they could give him a bigger role later on.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he did in the episode where she's given birth and, like, the ship's all cut off from power. Yeah, and she's Worf's delivering the baby and he's, like, stuck on the bridge.
But that was probably maybe Keiko's finest scenes. Like
probably. Yeah, those are, like, some of the best scenes with Keiko.
Yeah, like, I really enjoyed that episode. But, yeah, I just wonder if, like, that was thought out. That well, or did they just fall in? It's like, hey, we're going to do Space Nine. You know, Colm, we want to bring back O'Brien. He's going to be a major part because we think you got the role, the chops for it, and we'll throw Keiko in, you know, more often.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting the way it all worked out, especially considering. You know, I'm so sad that
Ensign Ro was one of my favorites.
Ensign Ro was supposed to be the second in command of Deep Space Nine. But
what happened?
Michelle Forbes didn't want to do it.
What a dummy!
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why didn't you want to do that? That would have been amazing. That's 7 years of steady work you turned down.
What did she do after that? Anything?
She did True Blood and she got naked. I mean, does that?
Woo! What is that? All right.
She did True Blood.
But
speaking of True Blood, like just today, the actor that played Lafayette, I saw you passed away.
Passed away. Yeah.
I mean, just random trivia news since we're.
He was 39.
39, young.
Holy shit. Do we know why he died or how he died?
It was a heart-related condition, oof. But
rough.
My girlfriend mentioned it to me earlier today, and I was just like, she's like, she couldn't find any, like, mention of past history of heart problems or...
Well, people just... It happens all the time.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's really weird.
It's really sad.
Yeah. It's sad that somebody that young died. I don't know.
But yeah, he's definitely got the acting chops. I'm sad they never used him this way in TNG.
Yeah.
Because Colmini, he can act. I mean, like...
But the thing is, like, I'm thinking about all the Colmini parts I've seen him in. He doesn't really go too much outside his box. Like, he's kind of like... He's got that gravitas of, like, that guy. Like, that really down, you know, salty earth type
yeah,
of guy.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really go too far from that. Like, I've never seen him do anything way outside his boundaries of those, you know, so, which is fine, you know. Like, you don't see any of the classic actors, you know, that you see, you know, like, you know, Jimmy Stewart didn't do anything really crazy. You know, John Wayne never played outside of being John Wayne, you know. He was always just kind of
John
him.
Wayne was just John Wayne was John Wayne. Like, there was no acting really.
Well, I mean, Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford
was, that's true. Harrison
is,
Ford
is always Harrison Ford. Harrison I mean, Ford. I've only seen a couple movies where he's a little bit out of, like, you know, I think, like, regarding Henry, where he loses all his memories. He's kind of, like, disorientated.
Sure.
I mean, there's a few, like, movies like that, but not many. Like, the one Widowmaker, where he's a Russian sub-commander.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he just talks with the Russian accent. Just like, this is terrible. You know? So, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, like, sure, he doesn't have a huge, like... But he just could carry episodes.
Oh, he could definitely carry them.
And he's just so good at, like, just being that everyman and that...
Yeah.
Just who he is, who O'Brien is. Yeah. And just to get shit on all the time, and he just has to deal with it.
They definitely shit on him a lot. But, yeah, but good episode. I would recommend people watch it, especially if you haven't seen it. You should definitely watch it, because, I don't know, I mean... Actually, too bad if you haven't seen it and you've listened to this podcast, then you've known the spoilers of what happens with this episode.
Granted, it's like a 20-something-year-old show at this point.
And why don't you know? And you're listening to this.
Spoilers shouldn't really apply anymore.
Yeah, when do spoilers end?
I don't know. I think spoilers end after like a week or two.
Nah. Give it a month.
Okay, a month. I don't know. I'm just not big on spoilers personally. I'm just like... I mean, I spoiled Into Darkness completely for myself. So I went into it.
I spoiled it so bad.
I knew beat by beat what was going to happen the entire film. Mm-hmm. So I spoiled it for myself, and I went in, and I enjoyed the movie. And I'm sure you probably didn't spoil it for yourself. You went in, and you really didn't like it. I know Guy, he didn't really care for it either. And a lot of people are online, or they just hate the movie so much. And I'm just like, I don't see why people hate it so much, because I went in knowing everything. So there's nothing that could disappoint me, because I
already
knew.
Here's my issue with Into Darkness, if we're going to jump into that just for a second.
Sure. I'm just talking about spoilers.
Yeah, but Wrath of Khan was like the movie for me growing up. It was like the greatest damn movie from my childhood. You know, besides a couple other ones that were out there, you know,
yeah, obviously
Star Wars and stuff like that. But Wrath of Khan was so damn good, and it just was like... So when I saw Into Darkness, it was anathema to me for the idea that they would take that and twist it into something to be corny and didn't have the heart and soul that...
I mean, I agree that part where Kirk dies and they reverse the
it's
role.
It's more than that. It's,
was dumb. Because the movie was good until that point. I mean, usually the movie, people complain about the movie. They complain about that point going forward.
That was pretty...
Is where the movie gets dumb. And that's just the last 20 minutes of the movie.
I know, but
if
it's
that.
Pretty dumb. And, you know, obviously Khan being, you know, looking quite different, not even close. You know, it's like, oh, they surgically altered him. All right, well... That yeah. seems convenient.
I didn't. I mean, it doesn't really bother me. But the thing is, the thing is with spoilers. My point is that spoilers is disappointment mitigation, because I knew everything that was going to happen in the movie, so I could just enjoy it for what.
Yeah, but
it was.
When you saw this for the first time, I don't know when you originally saw it. If you saw it when back in '94,
I Deep Space Nine, I was super spotty on.
But like, when you saw it, you were probably like, whoa, that's not the real O'Brien?
Yeah.
Like, that. I mean, that's a cool sci-fi twist.
It is a cool sci-fi twist.
You know?
But the thing is, I just don't care. I mean, like, okay.
I just don't care. Let him die on the floor.
Let him die on the floor. I just can't. There's worse things to get upset about. I just can't get upset about a spoiler for a book or a TV show or a movie. I'm just like, there's no point in getting upset about it. If I'm going to like it, I'm going to like it.
Oh,
if I don't like it, I'm not going to like it. This, knowing what happens does not diminish my
Yeah, but some people,
my like or dislike for
it. I would say you're in the minority for that.
I am. And it's a weird thing. But some people take spoilers like way too seriously. I remember when The Force Awakens came out, people were like, if you say anything Force Awakens, I'm going to unfriend you, like on Facebook. I'm just like, really, guys? I mean, is it that serious that you're going to like unfriend people for just...
No, I posted something about a TV show that has nothing to do with Star Trek, and somebody was like, oh, this is full of spoilers. You should have said that. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think about it.
It just blows my mind that people get so upset about it. I'm like, there's bigger things to get upset about. And if you're going to like it whether or not you know what's going to happen anyway, because if you like it, like Star Wars, people watch Star Wars 100 times a year. And I'm just like, does why do you rewatch it? Oh, because I like it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know everything that's going to happen, so why rewatch it? You're spoiled already. Why are you going to? I just don't understand. I just can't wrap my head around it.
You know, like, it's all according to what it is, but I mean, most properties that I would watch, I don't think I'd care that much. A few, maybe I'd want to be a little bit of like, I don't want to know everything about it.
So. With me, like, when I don't want to know spoilers, is like if it's something I don't care about, because then I can be surprised. I can be pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. But if it's something I care about a lot, like Star Wars or Star Trek, I'd rather be spoiled so I'm not disappointed, because I've got such high expectations for what I want from Star Trek and Star Wars.
Sure.
That if I go in and my expectations aren't met, I'm gonna be disappointed.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, I guess.
I get it why people... I don't think you should get that crazy and, like, unfriend people or, like, block people or whatever. That's kind of dumb. But I think you just be respectful of people. Like, you know that they want to have that special moment in the theater or in watching TV or something to see it. That makes sense to me. I try not to spoil anything for people. I just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, then again, like, this podcast, I mean, if you're listening to it, like, if we're talking about something...
I'm assuming you probably have seen
this. Just assume...
Like, if you're this far, the hour or whatever we're into this episode, you probably have seen...
Well, I mean, just for future reference for everyone listening to the show, like, if it's in the topic of that we're talking about, about something, just assume there's going to be spoilers.
Well, like, Discovery, when that comes out, we will be talking all about Discovery.
And the idea for Discovery, people, is we want to do Discovery episode every other episode, I think is what we're wanting to do, so we don't just, like... That way there's a period of catch-up. So, like, you know, we do the first episode around the first week it comes out, then we do the second episode around the same time the third episode comes out. That way, you know,
see how it works out.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it'll just be like, you know, it'll be enough time for people to watch things and not be totally spoiled. But
spoiled.
But yeah, this is a great O'Brien Mustafer episode. We didn't go perfectly in order. We're kind of reaching back to do catch up.
I don't know if this is technically O'Brien suffer.
Because he wasn't really O'Brien.
Although the real O'Brien was locked in a cell with, like, you know, tons of wires attached to his head, as he said, so and maybe to his nuts. So we don't really know.
He may have suffered.
He might have had a car battery tied to his nuts.
Oh, that would not feel great. No. By any stretch of the imagination. So I mean, he probably suffered in some capacity, but we know for sure his replicant suffered. He suffered some mental trauma from his wife and his
alienation.
His child.
Alienation from his wife, children, and his co-workers.
All his co-workers, and then was shot by the aliens he was trying to help.
I'm trying to help. Jamaican, double strong, double sweet.
Coffee.
Yeah, man. I'm feeling really groovy.
Oh, so many grooves.
Pass the Ducci on the left-hand side.
I was reading the Memory Alpha for this, and they speaking of Jamaican, like, you know, Hermes from Futurama. I think one of the Futurama guys chimed in about this episode somewhere, and they said this was like a very Futurama-esque story.
It is a little bit. I mean, without the comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was kind of funny that a guy from Futurama, like, you know,
I could see that.
Chimed in on this episode. Like, yeah, this is kind of like a Futurama story.
Yeah, man. Hermes.
Maybe I guess Futurama wasn't a thing yet, so I guess they couldn't.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't even a thing yet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Anything else about this episode?
No, I think that's pretty much it. It's a fun episode. Should watch it. But don't be surprised if you know the ending.
Yeah. Oops. Oh, well.
I did it again.
But it's, I mean, even if you know the ending, it's a great episode to watch just for the ride. Because and then just if you enjoy Colomini as an actor, it's a fantastic Colomini piece.
And if you want to see him naked, go see the one with the Cardassians where they strip his clothes off.
Oh, yeah. Because that's all sorts of sexy.
His Irish arse.
And they take his tooth, too. That's got to suck.
Yeah.
They strip you naked, they make you humiliate you, then they rip out a tooth.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to not feel great, because they didn't give him any anesthesia. They just, like, went with the pliers and pulled it.
Yeah, Paradin's put the freaking car batteries, wires to his nuts, so, yeah. You know.
O'Brien suffers any man.
It's the way of the Irish.
Yeah, oh, poor O'Brien, he must suffer.
Yeah.
Well, our intro is done by Dave Wilkes. The rest of our music is done by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. The show you can find at SentTheHolics.com. You can email us at SentTheHolics@Yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can find the show at SentTheHolicDuo. Me personally, you can find me at David_J_Duncan.
You can find me at Blackbird2004.
And Guy at GS Davis Art. Tell us about iTunes and Patreon.
iTunes and Patreon are two great ways you can support us. So if you have a buck or so, you want to throw a buck our way, buck a month. What's a buck a month? You could throw it our way. It costs more than – it's less than a cup of coffee or hamburgers you buy during a week, a month. Help support the show. Keep us lights on. Keep us recording and giving you more great content. If you can't, we totally understand if that's not in your budget right now. You could also just throw us, go onto iTunes, give us 5 stars, give us a little review, just to let other people know that we're out there. The thing is, iTunes strangely seems to drive the algorithms of how all podcasts are found. It has nothing. I have no idea how it ties into other, like, you know, Google Play, Stitcher, but somehow they all feed off the iTunes algorithm. Mm-hmm. So if you can put a review, give us some stars, be wonderful. Also, if you do play the elevator game and that lady does get on the elevator with you, if you do feel like talking to her and you want to, you know, test the rules. Tell her about Synthaholics.
Ask her if she's heard of us.
Have you heard of Synthaholics? If she has, she'll probably take you to the basement to our recording studio where we're recording currently, and then you can be part of the show. If you don't really want to play the elevator game, just, you know, tell your friends and family, hey, do you like Star Trek? Do you like these kind of things? Do you like sci-fi? Do you like stupid... spoilers.
Spoilers are all over the place for 20-plus-year-old shows.
Listen to Synthaholics.
Between 15 and 50-year-old shows.
Word of mouth is a wonderful way to let everyone know about us, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, because we don't do any other advertising other than just we just release the show in different Facebook groups. Yeah. And other than that, it's word of mouth. So yep. Let all your friends and neighbors and
let the world know, people. Bring the word of Synthaholics to all your friends, families, and loved ones, and then say you're sorry.
Because we're not.
But yeah, so all those things definitely help us out.
Oh, it'd be fantastic. Well, thank you all so much for listening. It was a great having you back, Aaron.
I'm glad to be back in the saddle again.
Woo! Right on, Bullseye.
Woo. No one took my place.
Yay.
Another O'Brien.
We did not have any O'Brien
reference. That would be cool if there was another O'Brien showed up here. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, man. But no other O'Brien showed up, so we're here with you. So thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
We'll sing and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll bullshit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Hi, I'm Karen O'Brien. I'll be recording for you tonight. Who the fuck are you? I'm Karen. But I'm Aaron.
Are you? You're the female version of Aaron?
Yeah. I have a beard, too.
Oh, you're the bearded lady.
The bearded lady.
Do you
Space Station 11.
Do you frequent the freak show?
Yes.
How much do you get paid doing that?
11 cents.
Are you Karen O'Brien from the 1920s?
Yes.
Because 11 cents is not a very good going rate in 2017.
And I have a terrible opium problem.
Well, opium's not that bad. Opium makes you feel good.
I'm an opium eater.
You eat it?
Yes.
You don't inject it?
No. I hang out in Chinatown eating opium all day.
Eating opium? Like, do you use it in baked goods, like muffins or anything?
No. Just eat it as powder form. It's great.
Just rub it on your gums.
Rub it on my gums. Yes. Now I'm here to record. Wait a second. I got to go eat some opium.
Share.
Share the opium. Share your opium with everyone.
I need some Dilaudid. One of the things I sort of kind of regret from the hospital is I really wanted to record.
One of the things I regret from the hospital.
I really wanted to record a commentary episode, like
in the hospital as soon as
I got one of my Dilaudid shots, because they made me loopy, and I really wanted to do that, but I had a hard time sleeping.
I think we just do magic mushrooms and record. Let's just see what happens.
I kind of wanted to go to the dollar store and get some helium balloons and just like randomly do those throughout the show.
Oh man,
I think that'd be kind of funny.
Might be weird. I'm not gonna lie, that might be a little strange. Hey! Just call yourself Mickey or something like that. Hey guys. That would be kind of funny, though.
I was thinking about that yesterday.
But if you could do it without making a lot of noise, you know, like without being like, you know, like the noise of the balloon.
Oh yeah,
you
know,
that would be key. You know, like make it like relatively.
If we could do it quietly,
yeah,
that'd be awesome. Though, if we could just like do the show like high on helium,
it would be funny.
Get a couple balloons. I mean, yeah. We'd have to edit and like. Cut the parts where like we're grabbing the balloons and getting them ready.